tape room was expecting her to sing on, but we appreciate the good special there. All right, we'll get set up here for the Bible class here in just a moment. We got things flipped a little backwards here this morning, but we'll get back in the groove. I get it. Thank you, Bob. Get this thing down where I can reach it here. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 2. We were here last Sunday. We had Brother Morgan speak to us in Sunday school on missions, our missionary here out of the church to Romania, and brought a great message for us. As we're contemplating finishing off our mission year. And so we really didn't get in a lot of talk about Christmas, but I'm going to deal with it just a little bit here in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. I know it's Christmas past now, but that's all right, still close to us. How many of you remember? I did do something about Christmas last week. How many of you remember what it was? See, I could do it again, you wouldn't know. How many of you remember I told you what Adam said the day before Christmas? How many of you remember that? How many of you don't? Means I got to tell it again. What Adam said the day before the first Christmas. He said, "It's Christmas Eve." Now, how many of you remember? Oh, that's the way it works. All right. Matthew chapter 2. I want to talk to you just a little bit about it. We're familiar with the story. You hear it every Christmas. I'll read just a little bit here and talk about it. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I want you to pick up on the word wise men. Now, we often say, you know, wise men still seek Jesus, and that's a good little thing to say. But the wise men came, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard all these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. By the way, the coming of Christ the second time is going to trouble a lot of people too. He wasn't ready. He should have been. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, by the way, that was something else that he was supposed to know. Now, let me just, that's reminding you of the story just a little bit. Let me jump into saying just a few things briefly about it this morning. There's a lot of inconsistencies with what is practiced and tradition and actually what the Bible says concerning Christmas, of course. For instance, we see all the live nativity scenes, and that's okay, but we generally see the wise men standing around the manger, and that's not Bible. Right here, and by the way, we say the three wise men. We really don't know. We judge that because they had three different kinds of gifts. I doubt they traveled just by themselves, like we always see in the pictures. They had an entourage of, they were wealthy men. They had a support group, no doubt about it. Probably a caravan. Maybe the reason that Herod didn't even get tough with them when they showed up. They might have had some bodyguards, so to speak, around. But anyway, when you read the story through here, they come to Herod. Herod pretends to want to worship Christ also. So he tells them to go find him, and so he'd worship him too. And of course, the wise men was too wise for Herod. They saw through his little scheme there, and they didn't do that. But notice in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, that's where the wise men appeared, Mary and Joseph had already got a house instead of a manger. And they see the young child with Mary's mother, fell down, worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's what I was trying to find in the traffic yesterday, another way. There was not another way. In this case, there was, and they didn't go back and give way to let Herod know. But you notice several things here that are a little bit inconsistent with what is basically held as tradition today. The star showing up. Look at it in verse 7. When Herod, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men in, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, they said, we've seen his star in the east, up in verse 2 there. Now, it leads some to believe they were watching for it, and the new star appeared and was just up there, and probably so. I remember I was sitting in seminary class 100 years ago, and the professor came in, and it was just before Christmas break. And he said to us, a class of young preachers there, he said, how many of you actually think the star moved? It followed, and I raised my hand. And he said, no, it didn't. It just appeared. And we was all getting our books out and getting ready to go, and I borrowed my brother, my buddy's Bible across. I said, give me your Bible, and I opened it up right here, and I read verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, that's where it started, when they saw it, went before them. That sounded to me like it moved. Went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And I read that to my professor. It's always dangerous to rebuke your professor. But I did. He said, Mickey, you're right. That's what I get for hearing some preacher on the radio and not listening to my Bible. So, truth is, it moved. Now, it appeared, we're talking about a great distance. These wise men traveled a great distance. And it appeared there, but they were watching for it to appear. Unlike the Jews around Bethlehem and Jerusalem, the wise men were watching for it. They expected it. They knew it was a time for this Messiah to be born, and so they're watching for it. So it does appear, but apparently they know the area of his birth. They go to Jerusalem, they don't go to Bethlehem. But the Pharisees and the Jews knew the prediction that the Messiah was to be born, Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem, but they were asleep. They wasn't paying much mind. Sort of like folks today, sleeping as the second coming is getting closer and closer. And so here was this religious crowd, the Pharisees, the Jews should have known. They did know, they just didn't believe. I hate to say it, folks, but a lot of us know a lot more than we believe. So I do believe, Folks, I believe in, well, tithing, but I don't do it. Well, you don't believe in it then. I believe in being faithful to the house of God, but not faithful. So how much do you believe in it? Believe in soul winning? Believe in living a clean, holy life? I'm just meddling with you now. Truth of the matter is, sometimes our actions prove we don't believe all we say we believe. Got loved ones going to die and spend eternity in hell? You believe that? I wonder sometime how little we witness to folks, how much we really believe about what we say we believe and what we know the Scripture teaches. And here you had a crowd that knew, but they were not acting on what they knew. They knew the verse. They knew Micah was saying the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. More than that, they should have learned from the book of Daniel just what these wise men had already learned from Daniel. Because you see, these wise men come from where Daniel was taken into captivity and kept for 70 years. The east was Babylon. That's where it was. And if you know the book of Daniel, you can understand there was a conflict between the so-called wise men, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and Daniel. You remember? But you remember something else? In Daniel chapter 2, you want to flip over there with it? Go over to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, the king has a dream, remember? He can't remember it after he wakes up. Anybody ever had that trouble? Sure. But he thought this was a special dream, and he wanted to know something about it. And so he called on this very crowd of wise men. to tell him. And you look down in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 2. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me, the dream is gone from me. If he will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Boy, I bet that built a fire on them. And he'd ask them for the interpretation. Of course, they had told him, "We'll tell you the meaning if you tell us the dream." Again, the king was too smart. He figured, if I tell you the dream, you're going to lie to me. You're going to fabricate something. So he didn't fall for that. And that's in verse 7, Daniel 2. They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof." That's exactly what the fortune teller does when you go to them. That's exactly what the witches do. You'd be surprised how many folks still fool with that. Look out for the tarot cards. Look out for the horoscope in the newspaper. You're being set up whether you know it or not. And that's crossing over a line God told you not to cross over, because that's the devil's side of stuff over there. Right. Better be wise about that. Somebody says, "Well, I better look at my chart, see if I'm going to have a good day." You'd be surprised. These folks won't leave the house if their chart don't read right. What a joke. Better read the Word of God and trust God and ask God's blessing on you and stay away from that foolishness. But anyway, here was a crowd here that said, "Tell us a dream, we'll give you the interpretation." But he was too smart for that. See it in verse 9. "But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation." Well, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Daniel comes to the rescue. Now, what does he do? Well, you see, he's put in the same category as these fortune tellers and astrologers. And he's considered in that very lot. He was of the fairest of the children of Israel. And what you have is you have the king bring it in the royalty seed and bringing them in to train them in the ways of Babylon and his religion and his science. And so if all of them would have been killed, Daniel would have been killed with them. But what does Daniel do? He asks for one day's extension, just a day and night. And the king grants it. So the servant goes back and says, "This Daniel said, give him another day." And I'm paraphrasing it now. But Daniel gets his friends together and they pray, remember? And God answers the prayer, and he comes before the king and he gives the interpretation accurately. Now here be good, he saved the lives of not only himself, but of the astrologers, the wise men, the Chaldeans, the whole group. Now, don't you suspect out of a group like that where this Jew boy had saved their lives, don't you think they might have been grateful? I think so. I think at least a bunch of them, I don't know how many, begin to think Daniel knows something we don't know. And they begin to learn from this Jew boy about the true God. And that's why they knew when the star appeared, they'd been told by Daniel. They came out of the east. Oh yeah, Daniel's dead by now. And this was probably the sons of some of the very men, or grandsons, or even great-grandsons of some of the men Daniel had saved their life. But the Magi is an order of a religion that is still current today. It's not Islam. Islam didn't even come along to 1,100 years later after the book of Daniel before Islam ever shows up. So it was not Islam. It was a pagan religion that studied astrology and studied the stars. And if I'm saying it right, I'm going to say Zoroaster, Z-O-R-O-S-T-E-R, that religion today. If you go to college and you want to study contemporary religions, they'll still bring that one out of Persia and out of the Middle East over there. And it is much of what is practiced sometime under different names. It's pagan. But it has to be that your destiny is in the stars, right? And Americans adopt it under all kind of different titles and isms, but same old thing. Now, get me to understand something. The book of Genesis says that stars and the heavenly bodies were created for signs. And there's some accuracy in the signs of the heavens. We got all excited here over the blood moons, and that's okay. There's signs in the heavens. And by the way, you say, well, nothing happened on the blood moons. Well, I don't know where nothing happened, but I'll tell you what, a lot of folks got a good warning because of it. So God was in the warning, amen. And God is good to warn us. But the signs in the heavens. Now, my grandma believed in the signs, and many Southerners planted crops by the signs and still do. If you're wise, you know a little bit about some of those things. My grandma used to scare me to death when I'd go to have a tooth pulled. And by the way, pray for me. I got another one giving me trouble. But she'd say, don't have that tooth pulled. The signs aren't right. I don't know how she knew the signs. We had a tin roof on the house. I couldn't see the stars at night after we moved to Florida. Couldn't Georgia, because the shingles had cracks in them. But anyway, she knew where the signs were. She said, the signs in the head or something else. But I learned to respect Grandma after a bit. She was smarter, and the older I've got, the smarter she's gotten. But the truth is, there's a religion that goes by that. Now, there's a little truth behind a lot of falsehoods. Watch out. The devil knows if he's going to get you to swallow a big lie, he needs to mix a little bit of truth in it. Mama used to fix my castor oil that way with a little orange juice so she could fool me. And the devil is a good fooler. And so there is some truth in the heavenly body thing. In fact, there are good preachers that have written books on how the gospel is written in the stars. And yes, I think it is. You've seen these pictures that anybody can paint a picture when you draw a line from this number to that number to that number, right? Well, you can draw from one star to the other star, and you can get Leo the lion up there. You can get the hunter. You can get the serpent. You can get a whole bunch of stuff up there in the stars. But accurately and rightfully done, there you can see, as it were, the gospel in the stars. And some believe that even Abraham, before God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, may have been a studier somewhat, because he was in the East too, and some of this same stuff. But the good news is God broke through and he spoke to Abraham and Moses and all, and we know the truth. And so while we can give value where it's at, we don't go by the stars. We go by the one that made the stars, amen, that wrote a book we call the Bible, amen. And that's what we go by. But these wise men were the Magi, order of pagan Medo-Persian religion, and they had learned from Daniel, and apparently it had carried over several generations, because this was not the same ones that would have sat at the feet of Daniel, but probably his grandkids. And so they were watching. Now, did they have a right to watch? Yes, they did. Daniel told that he would appear. And in fact, in Daniel chapter 9, he gives the 70 weeks prophecy. And that 70 weeks, if you were to go over to Matthew chapter 21, you'll find out when Jesus rode into the city on the donkey. In Matthew chapter 21, you'd have found out that he rode in exactly on time. Matthew 21, he come riding in, and the kids begin to cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the city was moved, it says, and one of the questions they asked in Matthew 21:10 was, who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And he goes in, turns over the money changers in the temple, and the children are crying in verse 15, Hosanna, the Son of David. And everybody got displeased, and they wanted to shut up the kids. And in verse 17 of Matthew 21, he left them and went out of the city into Bethany and lodged there. But you know what he said? He said, if you shut up the children, even the rocks would cry out. That was a big day. Now, you know, we quote the psalmist, and it's okay to do this. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And we use that for a greeting, and that's okay. But that particular psalm is a prophecy. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. It was the day that the Messiah would ride in on a certain date predicted by the prophet. And it was the day when they cried, "Hosanna in the highest," but they were soon crying, "Crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us." The day he offered himself to Israel as king, but they didn't accept him as king, they crucified him. And so when the wise men came, they had some background for it. They knew what they were doing. I'm trying to think of the verse. I believe it's in Numbers. I want to go back to the book of Numbers. Go with me, we'll look for it. I want to go to Numbers chapter 24. And I want to pick a verse out of Numbers 24, and I hope I can find it. Verse 17 and 18, maybe, 17 for sure, Numbers 24. We have a fellow speaking that's a crooked preacher. We call him a hireling prophet. His name is Balaam. He was in it for the money. See, things hadn't changed quite all that much today. And here you got a fellow named Balaam that wanted to, a fellow by the name of Balak, a pagan, wanted to hire a prophet of Israel to curse Israel. Now, isn't that interesting? Do you know what the liberal media will do today? They'll go get a liberal preacher to speak against Christianity. Did you ever notice that? See, Judas, all of the tribe of Judas is not all gone. There are a lot of Judases today. And they can almost always find somebody to make a bad attack on Christianity. When the Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, they got a little song they sing, "All is well, there's no hell." You better watch out for it. Every time they'll open up. When you say, "Well, I'm a Baptist," they'll say, "Oh, I used to be a Baptist. My foot." My answer to that is not the kind I am. Amen. The truth is, they always try to get somebody from the other side to say, "Oh, yeah, we used to be. We know more than that now. We've wised up now." That's the devil's attack. But here in Numbers 24, did the wise men have a right to be watching for a star? They sure did. It was predicted. Numbers 24, verse 17. Here's the prophecy given by Balaam, the false preacher. But God said, "Okay, you may want to curse my people, but I'm not going to let you curse them." You remember how the story went? Every time he'd open his mouth to curse Israel, God would put a blessing in it for Israel. God's good at that, making good out of evil. Verse 17 of chapter 24, here's what Balaam is saying. It's not what Balak wanted to hear, but here it is. "I shall see him, but not now." Not now. "I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star." See the capital letters in your King James? "But not nigh, there shall come a star out of Jacob." Jacob is a synonym for Israel. "Star out of Jacob, a sepulcher," see that capital S again, "shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph." And he goes on down and he says in verse 19, "Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city." He's saying there's a star coming that's going to rule and reign. He's going to destroy the enemies of Israel. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. So when the wise men come to try to find the Christ child, and it's probably close to 2 years after he's born in a manger. Here we find him in a house in Matthew chapter 2, not gathered around the manger like we see all the pictures. But they come because they've got something solid to go on. Their false religion does not teach them the Messiah is coming. But from the prophet Daniel and the background, they knew he was coming. They saw his star, and then it actually moved and led them again from Herod's palace to the house in Bethlehem. And that star, of course, is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And just like the wise men gave warning, Herod didn't heed it. There's a lot of good preachers giving warning today, and a lot of people aren't heeding it. But Jesus is yet to come back and do what Numbers 24 said he would do, to come back and be King of Kings and to give the victory that was promised to Israel. All right, my time is up, and we'll let the folks go out and get ready to bring the choir in. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. Appreciate you coming to our Bible class today, and we'll have the preaching service here in a little while.